Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon presented by Pastor Kevin Ramey, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Happy Sabbath. I am a senior at Bakersfield Adventist Academy. I've been attending there since about kindergarten. I left for a while, but I came back, and it's true how Pastor Gomez says public schools are very different, but I came back to BA because it's made a big impact in my life. Sometimes at home, we don't have the same thing we have at schools, and it's very right. And I myself am baptized. I was baptized 4.5 years ago, Mother's Day. And Bakersfield Adventist Academy has been a blessing to my life, for it has helped me realize that God is there. And the times that I felt that He wasn't, I realized that He was. And how my father tells me, the most hardest things we go through in life or situations, it's the most tender kiss God gives us, or the way He shows us His most love. And about 6 weeks ago, I came out of church. I had gone to Tehachapi with my uncle, and we were coming home, and my brother called me, and he told me he needed his car. And we live in Arvin, and my brother lives here in Bakersfield. So I told him, okay, I'll take you your car. So everything was good. We got out of church, good sermon, everything felt right. So I got home, I got the car keys, and I started the drive, and my brother kept calling, just pressuring me and rushing me. So I started to drive faster, hitting about 95 miles an hour. And as I came to a bridge, I was going, and in a matter of seconds of releasing the steering wheel from the top to grab it from the bottom, the car went off a little bit to the side, and it caught dirt in one of the tires, and it began to spin. And as I went up the bridge, so many things crossed my mind. For at a point in time, I had kind of stepped away from the righteous path of God, and so many things came to mind, not knowing what to do. I flipped off the bridge, flipped over twice, and I was upside down, car skidding about 15 feet. I was about give or take 5 feet away from hitting an orange tree. The whole top of the car fell. It sank in. I was upside down. Airbag didn't open. And I was just sitting there. And I didn't know what to think, what to do. And as I sat there upside down, I just realized God had put His hand over me. For I was out in the world, and I made the big step of coming back to Christ, to changing from the wrong to the right. And I realized sometimes Satan has such a good hold of youth, or has a certain leadership in youth, that he doesn't want to lose his youth to come back to Christ. So I have a verse to read with you, and it's found in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking to whom to devour." And sometimes we just don't know, but we feel like we are with Christ. And sometimes we could be living a Christian life on Sabbath, and during the week, something else. And all I could say to you is, God is always there, no matter what. And this is my testimony. And the Academy has also been a blessing to me. For, I don't know if you guys know Fred Warfield. He was here. He was one of my mentors as I was at the Academy, and he would talk to me, and he was helping me understand the Bible, how God was there at the least times I felt. And as I was out in the world living a crazy life, I realized life isn't promised every day. And also, Pastor Gomez has been helping me, and he told me it'll be a tough battle, and it is. For that same day that I crashed, in my mind, all I had was, am I willing to change for God all the way, or am I going to be part of the world? And as I grew up in this religion, this congregation at Narvin, I realized the world seems to be fun and everything, but it really isn't. It's what Satan shows us to be, something that you want to be part of, something happy. But when you realize, when you lose so many close people, the world isn't there to help you. It's God, and it's the people that are there, your friends, your family. So I've made my choice. As I told Pastor Gomez, I want to change my life and serve God all the way, not be in between. As the Lord says, you're either hot or cold. You can't be warm. So I've chosen to be hot for the Lord and to serve in any way I can. And this is my testimony. Thank you.
I've chosen to sing "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life for me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Morning. Happy Sabbath. I'd like to start off with a word of prayer. So could you please bow your heads? Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for letting me be here today and share my testimony. I pray that you speak through me and help me to help someone and be with all those that need you the most today. I just pray that we have a great Sabbath, and in your name I pray, amen. Okay, well, kind of short. I'd like to start off, from when I can remember. Life was good when I was a child. Life is still good, but where I'd like to start is I was 7, and the family was all together. We lived together in apartments, and oldest brother was going to school to be a correctional officer, and we were great. I went to Bakersfield Adventist Academy since 3rd grade, and so I didn't really know anything. I was just 7. And I noticed we started moving from a different apartment complex. And, you know, parents didn't, they had a tough, you know, arguing. And me and my sister's like, okay, let's go play outside or something, keep ourselves busy. And the next thing I know, we're staying at hotels and at friends' houses. And we're just finding a place to stay. We went homeless. And I didn't know what was going on. And at the time, I had a really bad breathing problem. And so we'd have to call my brother, see if he could take me to a hospital out of town, and nobody could figure out what was wrong with me. And at the same time, we're still figuring out where to stay, what's going to happen. And I remember one time we were staying at my parents' friend's house. We used to live next to them. And I had lost my tooth. And I figured, okay, I could put my tooth under the pillow and get some money to help the family. So I put my tooth under the pillow, and I'm all excited the next morning to wake up. And I wake up to find a half-eaten Nutri-Grain bar under my pillow. So I'm like, okay. One day I went for a walk with my parents, and my sister stayed at the house, and she played video games, and my dad told me, he's like, which two out of those two houses, which one do you like? I said, ooh, I like the big white one on the corner, it's huge. And he's like, okay. Well, we got closer to the house, and they were remodeling it, and that night we were able to stay there. And we ended up staying there for the next 5 to 6 years. That was what we called our home for the next couple years. And so then again, life was good. We had a huge backyard. My family came over. We would play outside. And I was 9 or 10 at the time. And about 6 months later, well, we all lived together. My brother and my sister shared a room. I shared a room with my parents. My brother, my oldest brother, Isaac, was out of town because he had become a correctional officer. And about 6 months later, we get a knock on the door. And we're already getting in bed and everything, and we had found out that my brother Israel had got really hurt. And so my mom rushed out with the lady, and they went to the hospital, and I told myself, oh, he'll be okay. He's full of joy and full of life. He'll be home tomorrow, and everything will be okay. And I just went back to sleep. And the next morning, I wake up, and there's a bunch of people in my living room crying, and I don't know what's going on. I'm like, okay. So my dad's sitting on the couch, and I come outside, and my sister's still asleep. And my mom, we're all waiting for my mom to come home. And she comes home, and we got the news that my brother had passed away. And it got really hard after that. At that time, I was going to public school, and it was not the best school. I was bullied, and they didn't accept me, and my teacher didn't believe me that my brother passed away, and she's like, bring a newspaper and show me, and it wasn't nice. Around that time, the next year, I didn't like it, so I told my mom, I want to go back to BAA, Bakersfield Adventist Academy, and I got held back, so I had to start off with a new class, and God blessed me with really good friends, and so I went back to BAA, and after that, I mean, life got way better, and I really, really wanted to dedicate my life to God, and I wanted to get baptized, and I went to so many Bible studies, and I love doing outreach. It's like the best thing. And just seeing everybody's face and joy when they hear about God. And so in the beginning of the school year, everybody was talking about prayer conference is coming up. So I'm like, okay. And they're like, yeah, it's free. It's at another academy. And I was like, okay, it's free and it's something to do over the weekend. I guess I'll go. So I signed the papers and I was able to go. And that weekend came, and I wasn't really, it was just another weekend for me. And I went into it not even realizing what I was doing. So I go to a prayer conference, and the ride over there, and it was far out there. It was really nice. But I realized when I got there, everybody had their little friends, like from camp meeting and other things. And so I didn't really know anybody. And the first night, I remember I was by myself a lot, and I cried, myself to sleep. And I just wanted, the main goal in my head was, I want to go home. I want to be with my friends, and I want to go home. And I remember the next morning, they had prayer in the morning, like you could go to this, in the morning, like a section, a thing for prayer. So I was like, I'm not going to get up that early, and I'm not going to go. I'll just go to breakfast in my pajamas. So my alarm went off, and so I got up, I got ready, I look at the clock and I realize that I got up an hour too early. So I went to the prayer meeting. I prayed with my teacher and the people there. And then I went that night. I cried again. I wanted to go home. I had no reception or anything. And so I just felt so alone. I felt like I couldn't talk to anybody. And I look around and everybody was hanging out with their friends. And I mean, it was okay with me because it was great for them. But so the next morning, I just so happened to get up early again. And I go to the prayer meeting. And I realized that I was finished before everybody else was done. So I went out into the back of the sanctuary. And my friend had told me, she said, hey, you have to check out the prayer room upstairs. I was like, no, it's okay. She's like, no, it's really cool. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll go. So I go up there, and up in the prayer room, they have little places where you could pin a prayer on the map for somebody out of town, or you could just, you know, have your own little silent prayers right on the wall, what you want to pray for. And so I went to this one part where you write something positive on a candle, and you set it down, and you take a candle that's been written on. And I took a candle, and then I go to the next section, and I place a pin on the map, and I look at my friend, and she's still not done, so I didn't want to interrupt. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll walk back to the gym by myself. And I'm walking back, and I'm like, okay, here I'm again. I'm alone. This is great. And my hands are in my pocket, and I'm like, what's in my pocket? And I pull it out, and after I read what was on the candle, I started crying, and I was so happy, and I read the candle, and it said, you will never be alone, and I got this burst of joy in my heart, and I was like, right there, I just wanted to get baptized, and the rest of the weekend, I had the biggest smile on my face, and I ended up getting reception on my phone, so when I got back to school, I just wanted to share that with everybody, and I was so happy, and this past Christmas, I got baptized. And I'm able to give my life to God. But I wanted to read a verse that really touched me. And it said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And that just shows me that no matter what I go through and no matter any situation I'm in, that God's there for me, and he always sends friends to be there with you, and you'll never be alone no matter what. And I'm happy that I'm able to be here and share my testimony, and even though I didn't really want to when Gomez asked me to, I'm really happy. So, thank you.
Hello. Sydney and myself are going to share special music. We're going to sing the song called Forever Love. And the song touched me when I first heard it because at the time, you know, I was feeling really down and, you know, I was feeling alone. And then the song came on the radio. It's kind of funny how when you hear a song, it can change your mood like that. And I heard it. And I showed Sydney, I was like, Sydney, this song is amazing. And she heard it and she was like, yeah. And we got the news this morning that there's only two of us doing special music. So she decided, why don't we sing that song? And we just want to let you guys, the people who gave the testimonies, know that you guys are loved and that we'll always be here for you guys.
My forever love, you are my forever love, you are my forever love, you are my forever love. From the bottom of my heart, I'll sing to you. From the depths of who I am, I love you. With everything I have, I'll run to you. 'Cause all that I become, I owe to you. You are my forever love. You are my forever love. You are my forever love. You are my forever love.
No. Brittany, no. Okay.
From the bottom of my heart, I'll sing to you. From the depths of who I am, I love you. With everything inside, I'll run to you. 'Cause all that I've become, I owe to you. You are my forever love. You are my forever love. You are my forever love. You are my forever love.
Isn't God our forever love? Amen. I'm just so taken back with our Bakersfield Adventist Academy students. I mean, look at the bravery and the courage. I mean, they talked up here so effortlessly. I mean, if you were nervous, we would never know it. You did an excellent job, and I tell you, it must be the good training at Bakersfield Adventist Academy. And anybody who's interested in attending there, the lady who gave the introduction for the children's offering, Brenda Howard, she's right over here. Just wave your hand. She has information about Bakersfield Adventist Academy as well as any other institution of higher learning that the Seventh-day Adventist Church sponsors and operates. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. I just got a note about a young lady. I'm not sure, well, if she's young or not, but a lady, Judith Westfield, I believe, or Westfell. They say that they're about to take her off life support in a few hours, and they wanted prayer for her. And I'm going to go by there afterwards, but I wouldn't want to know if you can just join me in prayer right now for her and just lift her up before God at this time. Her name is Judith. Father in heaven, I just want to just thank you for the opportunity that I and this congregation have to partner with you in the ministry and the care and for Judith. She's at a stage in her life, Father God, don't know all the information surrounding her, but right now she's on life support, which means, Father God, she's in very critical care. And her having to be taken off life support, it's not because she's getting better. It's because, Father God, the doctors see that there is no hope. And we're asking, Father, right now, as we combine our faith together on her behalf, that, Lord, you have already intervened. You have already done so many things. But Father, we just want to second the motion, whatever you have decided. You are the great God. Our hope is always for life and healing. And that's what we ask on behalf of her brother, Jim. Lord, thank you for allowing us to sense and feel what you feel on a day-to-day basis, the compassion for people who are hurting. And so, God, we know that whatever the outcome, Father, that you are in charge. And our prayer, Lord, is that should you choose to allow her to live, miraculously turn her life around, that somehow, Lord, our paths with her, our paths will cross with her in this earth. Should, Lord, you decide to lay her to rest, we pray, Father, that our paths will cross into earth made new. And so, Father, give us courage, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's remember the sick, those who are hurting, those who need help. I realize the hour, and I'm going to do my very best to shorten the message. I didn't realize the time will move by so quickly. But our prayers not only go out to this individual, Judith, but as we just remember this past week that we just went by, a lot of individuals we saw in the news have suffered in different ways. We think about the individuals in Tucson, Arizona, and the families of those individuals who were shot dead by that senseless killing, and those who are recovering from that. We think about the floods in Brazil. Amen? We think about the floods in Australia. And there's so many things that are happening worldwide, and that we must always remember that even though God is blessing us here, there are literally thousands, hundreds of thousands of individuals who are suffering elsewhere. Amen? I've entitled this message, The King's Address Against Stress. I'm going to say that again because somebody was talking while I was saying that. And I don't want you to miss this because I believe that in this message is something that can help you, because we all face stress. The King's Address Against Stress. Father, as we continue our worship to you, we ask that all the things you have blessed us with to grow us, to strengthen us in you, that those things will be sealed in our hearts. We need a word from you. We need something, Father God, that would literally empower us to live a God-centered life in this world of darkness. You can do it. We know you can. And we acknowledge and affirm your power right now, speaking to us and even coming upon us to allow us, Lord, to even to be so blessed in walking with you. In Jesus' name, amen. The King's Address to Stress, or Against Stress. Today marks the birthday. Today marks the birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And those of you who share the birthday with him, you are blessed. And we're going to briefly look into the life of Martin Luther King Jr. and learn how he coped with the stresses in leading the civil rights movement. Did you get that? Anybody ask you, what did Pastor talk about today? What are you going to tell him? Now, that was a topic. All right, let me say it again. What did Pastor talk about today? He talked about... He looked briefly into the life of Martin Luther King and how he coped with stress while leading the civil rights movement. You got it? Got it? All right. Okay. Just by way of introduction, just briefly. By way of introduction, I got to slow it down for you, okay? Got to slow it down for you. By way of introduction, I want you to help me in telling in sharing who Martin Luther King was, right? Martin Luther King Jr. What year was he born? 1929. Okay, what year did he die? 1968. He was born January 15, 1929, died April 4, 1968. What city was he born in? Atlanta, Georgia, correct. All right. Does anybody know his birth name? His birth name. Michael, that is correct. His birth name was Michael King. Why was his name changed to Martin Luther King? All right, his family visited Germany and learned about the life of the Protestant reformer, Martin Luther. And then the father changed his name. It was Michael Sr., and he changed his name to Martin Luther Sr., and also changed Michael Jr.'s name to Martin Luther Jr. Amen? All right. Martin Luther was very bright. Martin Luther King Jr. was a very bright child. What grades did he skip? He skipped the 9th grade and the 12th grade. And he started the Morehouse College at what age? 15. That is correct. At 15. What was his profession? What? All right. He was a pastor. Okay. He was more than a minister. We are all ministers. Amen. We are all ministers. He was a pastor. Okay. He was involved in pastoral ministry. We all have our various ministries. What person influenced his life and philosophy of life? Mahatma Gandhi. Amen. All right. And let's see. What year did he give the I Have a Dream speech? The year I happened to be born, 1963. Okay. And that was in Washington, D.C. All right. What was unique about the Nobel Peace Prize that Martin Luther King Jr. received? The uniqueness wasn't so much nonviolence, was the fact that he was the youngest person to receive the Nobel Peace Prize. And he received it for his work to end racial segregation and racial discrimination through civil disobedience and other nonviolent means. All right, he ended the last part of his life, and he didn't know that was the last part of his life, but he emphasized not just civil rights, but there was another cause that he fought for and spoke against, and that was what? Two causes. He focused his efforts on ending poverty and stopping the Vietnam War. And there's some who say that it was because he spoke out strongly on the Vietnam War that cost him his life. Many people hated him because of his work on civil rights. But when you start stepping on some toes and you become a very influential voice, and he was probably the strongest voice in America, especially for African American. And many people were being influenced by what he was saying about the Vietnam War. And enough is said about that. Time is ticking. So, but I want to talk about how he dealt with stress. Dr. Martin Luther King, along with many others, he was threatened. His house was bombed. He was jailed. He was stabbed in the chest. He was hit with a brick. I mean, his life was a constant dealing with stress. Would you agree? All right. And so how did he deal with stress? And just by way of just a simple definition, what is stress? What is stress? How would you define stress? Webster defines stress as a physical, chemical, or emotional factor that causes bodily or mental tension and may be a factor in disease causation. Stress. Someone else says that stress is the emotional and physical strain caused by our response to pressure from the outside world. Another way of putting it is stress is a feeling that is created when we react to particular events. Does it make sense? Stress. Do you have stress? Do you have stress right now? If you have no stress right now, you don't have a pulse. Stress is if you are alive, you have stress. We're not talking about if we have too much stress or if you're overwhelmed by stress. We all have stress. It's a form of physical or emotional tension, strain, tightness. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts are always adjusting, always dealing with outside stimuli. Stress is just normal, isn't it? Now, stress is different from worry. Amen? Worry is, this is the definition of worry, or a definition of worry. Worry is to disturb one or destroy one's peace of mind by repeatedly or persistently rehearsing a problem, real or unreal. And most of the things we worry about does not even exist. It's a form, someone said, it's a form of self-tormenting. However, worry can lead to stress. On the signature of my email, I have this saying: if you pray, don't worry. But if you worry, don't pray. Your mind cannot be in two places at the same time. God does not want a warrior prayer. W-O-R-R-I-E-R. Warrior. Doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to trust. But he does want us to pray like a warrior. W-A-R-R-I-O-R. Can you say amen? So how do you deal with stress? Stress is like financial problems. Stress is like family problems. The arguments we have with one another. Stress is like sicknesses, chronic illnesses. Some individuals got to face terminal illness. Others, they don't know what's wrong with them. There's the stresses of peer pressure. Uh-huh. When there are groups, when you're the only one in the group, rather, that doesn't drink, for instance, or where you're the only one in the group who's not going to that Friday night party, or you're the only one in the group who seems to be shunning the things that are wrong. Stresses. Sometimes we have stresses because of bad habits. Sometimes we have stresses because of addictions. Sometimes we have stresses because of things that we lose, whether it's a relationship, end of a relationship, a loss of a loved one, or loss of something that we once enjoyed. Even if that thing is bad, losing it, not it being a part of our lives, is a form of stress. We experience stress. Sometimes we experience stress because of bad decisions that we make. Amen? The list can go on and on and on. The question is, what do you do with stress? What do you do with it? How do you cope with it? And those of you who studied the Sabbath school lesson got some pointers, didn't you? Amen. And if you don't have a Sabbath school lesson quarterly, I'm not sure if we have any more left, but you can download it from the web. Amen. Just hit Sabbath school, and you get the site for that. If you have an iPhone or iPod touch. You can actually also download it and get the entire lesson from that. If you have a Droid phone, you can also download the Sabbath school lesson. But it's important that we learn how to deal with stress. Do you realize that there is not a disease that stress has not caused? How do you deal with stress? Do you eat away your problems? Do you drink away your problems? Do you smoke away your problems? Do you sleep away your problems? Or do you medicate away your problems? Those things may help in the short run, but it creates a bigger problem in the long run, doesn't it? Stress. And so, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, very briefly, we're going to go to verse 28. And we're going to see there what are some of the things that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to help him with the stress of life. Because, man, he was a man that dealt with stress every single day. But, you know, if you see footages of you know, his life, I mean, you see that he was a man that was calm, wasn't he? Calm under pressure. He was a man that always seemed prepared. But I tell you, he was a human being, and he was going through it. There's many things he was concerned about. There are many things he didn't know what was going to happen. How did he deal with stress? Let's read this text. If you have the King James Version, I invite you to read aloud with me. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus is speaking, and he says here, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I'm going to move very quickly, all right, but I'm going to hit on a few things, and I'm not sure if I'm going to cover all these points. I'm not going to tell you how many they are, but dealing with stress, it all begins with your attitude, with my attitude. Amen? And so the first thing we need in dealing with stress, and the first thing that I want to highlight that Dr. Martin Luther King had, Jr. had, is that of the attitude of vicissitude. The attitude of vicissitude. That vicissitude is the quality or state of being changeable. What is it? The quality or state of being changeable. We must have the attitude of vicissitude. Okay, problems will come, won't they? You know, we got to realize that change is inevitable. Some people want the same old, every day, day in, day out. But change happens. It just, I mean, if you don't want to change, life will pass you by. We're going to have the heavy burdens. That's what the text says. We're going to have situations that we feel more labored than others. And when a person is able to adapt and anticipate change and realize that we don't have all the answers, they have the attitude of what? Vicissitude. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he learned to deal with the changes of life. And sometimes, like Dr. King, we've got to be the instigator of change. Amen? In life, where's Joshua? Did he have to leave? Oh, there he is. Joshua, what is it I say to you? You either make it happen or watch it happen. Amen? Dr. Martin Luther King made it happen. Can you say amen? Second thing that we must have is the attitude of solitude. What is that? Attitude of solitude. That is having the state of meditation, being meditative, solitude. Jesus says, "Come unto me. All right? He wants not only quality time, he wants quantity time. Can you say amen? But how do you go to Jesus? You go to him through the Bible promises. You go to him by focusing on the promises instead of the problems. Somebody said there are more promises than problems. Amen. Many times we exaggerate our problems, don't we? Many times we paint the picture worse, and we keep rehearsing in our head over and over again what is going to happen. Okay? Don't keep repeating the problem. Take time to exhale. Take time to talk to God. And that's what Martin Luther King Jr. did. He spent time meditating on the promises of God, and some of his greatest sermons were written even from a jail cell. Matter of fact, he wrote a letter. It was an open letter from the Birmingham City Jail, and it's also known, the title of the letter was "The Negro is Your Brother." For those of you, or those of us of African-American descent, we were called Negroes back in the day. Amen? So it was "The Negro is Your Brother." It was an open letter written on April 16, 1963, from the city jail in Birmingham, Alabama, where he was confined after being arrested for his part in the Birmingham campaign, a planned non-violent protest. What we experienced on the news in Tucson, Arizona, was a violent protest. Dr. Martin Luther King was an expert on non-violent protest that was very effective. And this letter was addressed to 8 white Alabama pastors. Because of what they said on April 12, 1963, when they entitled their address as "A Call for Unity." The white pastors agreed that social injustices existed, but argued that the battle against racial segregation should be fought solely in the courts and not in the streets. King responded that without nonviolent, forceful, direct actions such as his, true civil rights could never be achieved. All right, as he put it, "This," quote, "wait," unquote, "has almost always meant never." He asserted that not only was civil disobedience justified in the face of unjust laws, but that one has a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. Stay with me now. Stay with me, okay? I want you to get this. College students, bright, amazing. Amen. He had the attitude of solitude. In order to face the stresses of life, you got to also have the attitude of sanctitude. The attitude of sanctitude. All right, I might even have a prize for somebody who can get all these tudes, list all these tudes. No, I'm not going to repeat them. The attitude of sanctitude. Sanctitude. The quality or state of being holy. The quality of state of being holy. We as Christians must believe that we are God's. Amen. Even in our rough, even in our draft, even in our condition that's not yet perfect, that we belong to God. And if we belong to God, we are holy. Turn to your neighbor and says, "You're holy." Turn to your other neighbor and says, "I'm holy too." All right? Holiness is not because you are perfect or that you somehow got it all together. Holiness, listen carefully, holiness is only because you have Jesus Christ living in your heart. you become holy. You must have and believe that you have the attitude of sanctitude. All right? We are his children. We are not our own. The Bible says we have been redeemed. The word redeemed means that you were once God's. Somehow you got away and he purchased you back. Can you imagine the God who created this entire universe having to purchase you? Reclaim you? How's he going to buy you? Who's he going to buy you from? And he's the owner of this universe. He's the person that made everything. But he did it. And if he had to literally sell all of heaven just for one soul, he would have done it. We must appreciate that value that God places on our lives. Dr. King believed that he belonged to God. There was absolutely no way he was able to go through what he went through if he didn't believe it. The attitude of sanctitude. We must also have the attitude of fortitude. What is fortitude? Having the strength of mind that enables you to encounter and knowing that your strength comes from the Lord. Do you have the attitude of fortitude? Where do you get your strength from in dealing with all the stresses of life? We deal with stresses, don't we? Stresses within, stresses without. Life is full of stresses. Amen? All of us were brought up in a family. In a family, you have all kinds of stresses going on, don't you? How do you deal with that? You got to have the attitude of fortitude. You've got to have inner strength, and you're going to get that strength from the Lord. Amen. The text says that we've got to take God's yoke upon us. And if you understand how oxen back in the day were yoked up with a plow, you ever seen that imagery or picture of an oxen that has a plow on it, a wooden plow in the old days, and the only way to attach the plow to the oxen so the oxen can plow the field was to put a yoke, attach a yoke to the plow and attach the yoke to the oxen. And the oxen, the yoke was made in such a way where the weight of the load that he was pulling was not as heavy as it seemed or as it really was. And so Jesus says, get yoked up with me. Amen. My goodness, am I talking to a congregation that believes in Jesus? You have the stresses of life. I have the stresses of life. Amen. My job is a high stress job. Yes, it is. But I'm yoked up with Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. I have the attitude, a fortitude, my strength comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I got to move on. I had a speech here that I wanted to read, but time is moving on. Not only must you have the attitude of fortitude, but you must have the attitude, and I hope you get this one, of aptitude. The attitude of aptitude in dealing with the stresses of life. What do I mean by that? Is having the capacity, aptitude is having the capacity for learning. It's having the capacity for developing our natural abilities. Jesus says, learn of me. Can you say amen? We must always live in a constant state of learning. Amen? Someone says that what we are is God's gift to us. What we make ourselves is our gift to God. Amen? We never stop learning. We never stop improving ourselves. The more you know, the more you grow. The more you grow, the further you go. The further you go, the more you glow. Amen. As I think it's can't remember. Anyway, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Where did that come from? United Negro College Fund. Thank you. A mind is a terrible
thing to waste. Why? Why? Do you realize the functions of the mind? If we were to actually put a computer together, I mean, they got all kinds of things. They gave me an iPad. I got this iPad now. I'm walking around with my iPad. All kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, I was dreaming, wishing I can have something like this. You know, instead of having this big old bulky computer or laptop, have something very simple, like a little notebook. And here they are. But do you know that they can never, ever, ever, ever put together a computer that does what the brain does? Amen? I'm dealing with this whole thing about a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Even if they were to try to do it, to put together a computer that can do everything the mind can do. Do you know that the Empire State Building with its 102 floors will be too small to house that computer? So don't waste your mind. Develop it. Have the attitude of what? Aptitude. Dr. King was a man of learning, wasn't he? I mean, he skipped those two grades, went into college at the age of 15. He graduated, had about 3 or 4 degrees. Amen. I think he had a PhD by the age of in his late 20s. I mean, he was a man that believed in the attitude of aptitude. Some of us, we practice self-inflicted mental oppression. I wish I had a time to unpack that for you. But let me just say this. Oppression is defined as the state of being kept down by unjust use of authority. So how in the world do we inflict mental oppression? Stay with me. We have the power of choice. We have the what? Power of choice. Therefore, we have the authority. Somebody say authority. We have the authority over our destiny in life. Some of us practice self-inflicted mental oppression by using our authority of the power of choice and deciding to keep ourselves down, hold ourselves back, wasting our time in front of the idiot box and the internet and video games instead of taking time to improve ourselves through learning something new. A new trade, getting a diploma, learning a new language, learning us a new hobby. You're never too old to learn. Come on. The attitude of aptitude. Not only must you have the attitude of aptitude, but you must have to deal with the stresses of life. Like Dr. King, you got to have the attitude of beatitude. Beatitude. That's a simple word, isn't it? Touch your neighbor and say, be. Attitude. Amen? Be attitude. In other words, be the attitude. Amen? All right, we know the attitude, the word beatitude means what? It means blessed. Come on, it's one of my favorite words, blessed. Amen. You're going to hear it from me. Anything you record me any given day, you're going to hear it all the time. I am blessed by the best. Amen. I am blessed by God's very best. Amen. If God was to make me all over again, do you know he could not improve on what he did the first time? It's not about me. It's about him. Amen. God always makes the very, very best. Hallelujah. And at 8:50 p.m., January 21, 1963, on a snowy day in London, when God allowed my crusty head to come out of my mother's womb, it was his very, very best. Not just for me, but for you. You are blessed by the best. And if you have that attitude of beatitude, if you're going around believing that no matter what happens down here, I'm not living my life as if I'm going to stay down here. I'm living my life as if I'm going to live forever with my God. I am blessed. I'm so blessed, I don't have the time to be distressed. Hallelujah. Got to have the attitude of beatitude. We are blessed by the best and no less. And remember, it's only a test. And when we are behest with a test, we know that we can find rest in the best. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we say thank you that we can learn from King's address against stress. Learn how to navigate through life's changes, life's problems, life's difficulties, life's unpredictables, life's uncertainties, life's dangers, to navigate through life's losses, that we can and will find our attitudes in you. Thank you, Father. And as we close this service today, Lord, we want to leave here feeling like a champion. Hallelujah. We may not have all the things that we need per se right now. We may not have all the things that we want, but we have a champion's attitude. We believe who we are based on whose we are. We are more than just a person that was born into this world. We belong to you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. All the things we heard today, all the things we said today, all the things we experienced today, Lord, we do it so that we can be more faithful in being a follower of Jesus Christ. And don't have all the unnecessary stresses. We can reduce our stress and have that peace that confounds human logic. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, let us say together, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.